Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY car fix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast. We have just witnessed an amazing British Grand Prix. Honestly, I'm so shocked by this season so far. After Bahrain, when the Red Bulls were so dominant, so clear, we thought, okay, there's going to be another season that's wrapped, it's going to be done. But we've had six different race winners so far this season. It's exciting. There isn't much of a championship battle at the moment, but it's still an exciting season. And Amber, what a British Grand Prix that was. And we're both there.
We were both there, but we didn't see each other at the race, Hayden. Everyone was asking me.
Well, you were paddock, and I told you that I got general admission that you were never gonna come and see me. And you were like, oh, I'll come find you at some point. I was like, you are not gonna come to general admission at all. Because as soon as you're in that paddock, one, it's with Silverstone, it's quite difficult to get out of the inner part of the track from the paddock. I think there's only one exit to the normal general admission area. So there's that. And there's also, you know, there's so much going on in the paddock. You're always busy. You're always doing something. So I was like, you're not coming
to see me at all. Did you know what? So I did.
Also because you don't
I can't stand you, honestly. Oh, don't want to do this with you. No, honestly, I was like, I'm going to come see all my favourite people. I was like, I will come and see you, Hayden, and all the other creators that we're friends with and friends and family that were there. And I did manage to get out the paddock and say hello to a few people, but it was the rain that put me off because the rain was horrible. And obviously, you know, I'm arriving to the paddock and, you know, nicer outfits and all of this. And I was like, I'm going to ruin my shoes. They're going to get muddy. They're never going to let me back in the paddock. So I did come out into the fan zone because that's where the vibes are. You got the music blasting. Everyone's having a great time despite the weather. And I watched, you know, a few of the concerts and stuff like that. So I had a great time. But yeah, I didn't see my Hayden Gullis. But I'm sure we both had an amazing time and witnessed the great Lewis Hamilton just breaking even more records. I didn't think he was going to take the win this weekend. And I'm so, so happy that he did. What are your thoughts?
Oh, honestly, I was so, so happy. My heart was pounding during that. There was an England penalty shootout that I watched from Silverstone as well. That was on the Saturday. And then on the Sunday, it was basically exactly the same in those final five laps because Max was on the back of Lando and then he got past Lando. I was like, please, please don't take it away in the last couple of laps because this is incredible. You know, nearly 1,000 days since the last win. And, you know, I really, really enjoyed that win. And I don't mean to sound, you know, down about it or anything like that, or to be like, well, you know, we've had the win, but it's never happening again. I enjoyed it in this sort of sense, like it was never going to happen again. And I think it's because we were so used to being a Hamilton fan, so used to winning all the time that, oh, yeah, it's another win. Or, you know, if we didn't win a race or you didn't celebrate it, I celebrate the next one next year. Like, it's going to happen again. Whereas we've had 1,000 days nearly, and, you know, last one was 2021 in Saudi Arabia that there hasn't been a win. And sometimes, you know, it's like when Sebastian Vettel won his last race in 2019, you don't know that that's their last race win at that time. It's only once they've, you know, a couple of years later or once they've retired that you're like, damn, okay, so that was the last win. So for this, I was just like, I'm going to really, really enjoy this. I sprinted to the podium. I got there as fast as I could. And I got to witness that. And then also being outside the Mercedes garage, got to be on the track. And so I was outside the Mercedes garage where Lewis climbed up to the fencing and with the trophy and was showing it to the fans and fist pumping to the fans and just really enjoying those moments. And I do hope that they happen again. I do hope that I get to witness them again. But if they don't, then I'm glad that I got to be there And I got to really, really enjoy that race win if it were to be.
Yeah, I completely agree.
But yeah, I'm really, really happy. It sounds like a bit of a downer on it. Just like,
if it
that
is
was great,
the last.
And it was the last one. It's never going to happen again. But I think people will understand what I mean, that, you know, you've just got to enjoy these things in the moment, because we've experienced now that they are not always going to last. So just enjoy every moment that you have with them.
The podium was something else. Like, the fans were going crazy, and there's just something so nice and heartwarming about a Brit winning the British Grand Prix. You know, we thought it was going to be Max Verstappen, and then over the weekend it was like, oh, it probably isn't going to be Max. Is it going to be Norris? Oh, can Piastri come for this? Would have been nice to see Russell on that podium, because he's never been on the podium at the British Grand Prix before, but what a shame. In the end, it turned out it was a water system issue. So it would have been nice to see a Mercedes one too. But overall, super happy to see Hamilton take that win.
So, so happy. Yeah, it was confusing for us in the grandstands, or our general admission, to not really know what's going on with George Russell. Like, he comes into the box, I'm thinking, okay, maybe they've been on Inters for a while. Maybe they're now, you know, switching over to dries, and he's going to take that gamble. He's going to try and be the earliest one and hope that he gets it right to get back the lead of the race. And then all of a sudden, nobody's there to greet him, and he's getting out the car. I'm like,
what's going on?
Listen, what? He was fine. Like, he was with them. What's going on? So, yeah, just a big shame for George Russell. And I do feel sorry for him at the British Grand Prix. And I know there are a lot of fans of his, but you have a lot of people who are Hamilton fans. You have a lot of people who are Norris fans this season in particular as well. And I do think there's not a lot of support for George, sadly. You know, he's a Brit as well. He got pole position. He won the last race. I was hoping that maybe there'd be a little bit more. I'm a fan of all three. You know, I'm a patriotic Brit, and I will support people from my home country all the time. And it's just the clapping's going on. There's a big cheer for Lewis as he comes around. Then it's Norris. And then George Russell's just a little...
Oh, poor
George. Like, there's barely anyone. And it, yeah, my heart goes out.
Which
to
is crazy, because I can't remember which year it was now. I think it was 2022, I'm pretty sure. And I was at the British Grand Prix with my dad. Mm. And George had a great, like, crowd response.
It's since he's gone to Mercedes, I think.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, if now he's coming against, you know, Lewis Hamilton and Lando Norris, I think Lando has a lot of, you know, fans sort of like off the track as well. But he's also a very skilled driver. So, you know, he's got people that really love his racing, but people that really buy into his personality and what he does with Quadrant. Obviously, you've got Lewis Hamilton that just has a massive, massive platform outside of Formula One. So maybe it is just sort of half and half. People aren't seeing like super competitive racing from George. Maybe the mistakes that he's made whilst he's been at Mercedes are going against him. And then he doesn't really have something crazy outside of Formula One. You know what I mean? He's quite a calm driver off track. Mm-hmm. So potentially it's that, but I really wanted to see him on the podium. Would have been great to have him up there.
I wanted that triple Brit. I wanted that triple Brit. The first time since, I think it's like a race in Austria in the 60s, Jackie Stewart, Graham Hill, and John Surtees, I'm pretty sure, is the three that were on the podium for that race. Maybe 1965 at USGP. Someone will correct me if I'm wrong. But I wanted it to happen, because I was like, what a place to happen at the British Grand Prix. And I've said this on the podcast before. It is close to happening. And it was very close to happening again. You know, that water leak issue, you know, who knows what could have happened if George was a bit more in the fight there as well.
Well, we saw it, you know, at quali. So at least we can take that. You know, the top three positions for qualifying were the three Brits. So we got a little bit of a taster for it. Also, disclaimer, if you saw the Silverstone socials over the weekend, Hayden and I did some predictions. Can I just say, those predictions were a long time ago. We filmed them.
Those predictions were done literally like 2 days before.
No, Hayden, don't you dare.
Yeah.
Those predictions.
Definitely not done on the 31st of May.
Gosh,
definitely
Ferrari
were done. A couple
were
of days
quite
ago.
Strong when we gave these predictions. I looked like a fool when they came out. An absolute fool. I'm like, yeah, Ferrari. Both the two Ferraris on the podium. What a stinker for the Ferraris. And poor Charles.
And I got the podium correct. Not the right positions, but I got the podium correct.
I'll let you have it, Hayden. I'll let
you have
it.
It was done 2 days before the race.
I'll let you have this one.
And not the 31st. Not the 31st
no, no,
of
no.
May.
Not, the not when the Ferraris definitely were not looking their strongest.
No. Not just after Monaco. Not at all.
But what a stinker for the Ferraris there, Hayden. Weekend. You know, it just wasn't a good weekend. I think obviously Sainz made a comeback, but poor Charles, what's happened since Monaco? What is going wrong? You know, strategy, or is it, you know, the car performance and the car design? What do you think's happening at the Ferrari?
Well, you know me, I love to waffle.
You do.
I love to make up conspiracy theories and just be like, what if? And yeah, 99% of them are wrong. But one day, one day my stab in the dark will be right. And today's conspiracy theory, right.
Here we go.
They went hard on Monaco. They went hard on developing a car so that it would absolutely destroy Monaco. Charles Leclerc will win that race. And then since Monaco, they've gone, right, Monaco's done and dusted. Well done, boys. That's the first part of our season done. Let's get into the second part. Now we're going to develop a car that is an absolute beast in a straight line. So when we head to Monza, they're going to wipe the floor with everybody else, win Monza. They've done Monaco. They've done Monza. They're two home Grand Prix. Sorry, Carlos Sainz. Spain is apparently irrelevant to them. They don't care. But those two, they've got them in the bag. Job done. Season done. Bring over Lewis Hamilton. Let Leo, let Roscoe play, and that's going to be Ferrari for next season.
But come
on. So that's the plan. Monaco done. Now it's all about Monza. Straight line speed.
I mean, it makes sense.
They're going to be hitting 300 miles
an
hour.
Aiden, I think I can jump on board with your conspiracy there. It makes sense, but poor Charles, you know, he's meant to be, and I quote, you know, the number one driver. Obviously, no one actually says that, but he is. And he's the one having an absolute stinker out in Q2, which was a massive shock. I remember watching it and I thought, no. I know the Ferraris weren't doing well, but out in Q2, don't tell me Charles Leclerc is going to become the next Perez. Because Perez, we'll get onto him later, but Perez is not having the best time ever. And obviously, starts P11. He made those moves in the race, but then ended P14. So bad strategy, you know, obviously the car's not performing well, so there's nothing he can really do. But if Sainz can push it slightly, you know, they're doing semi-well with Sainz, I would say. So why aren't they pushing that for Charles? You know, get those strategies right. The team needs to get on board. And this is why I fear for Hamilton making that move, because I don't see Hamilton coming into Ferrari being this like crazy change. And even with Adrian Newey, it's not going to change overnight. So I'm terrified.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully for them, the plan is 2026 and they're cooking up a storm there.
One can only hope.
Yeah, it's just another one of those, and one can only hope indeed. It's one of those, it's just like, what are you doing? And there were a particular few teams and strategy calls over the weekend that is a bit confusing. Now, okay, disclaimer for people at home, and you are more than welcome to correct us if we get anything wrong. As I've said, we both watched it from the grandstands or from the paddock. So you don't get a lot of information there. You are watching the car out on track. You have the commentary that goes on around the round, but there is so much noise that it is difficult to kind of hear and understand. So like I say, with the George Russell retirement, we had no idea until it happens. And then we still don't know, have no idea why it happens until you finally might get a little bit of 5G on your phone and you're like, okay, Twitter's loading now. Oh, that's happened half an hour ago. So if we say anything that is wrong, just bear with us. Feel free to correct us. We're not worried if you are correcting us and we're getting things wrong. But yeah, Sergio Perez, Charles Leclerc, and I think even Zhou as well, like the strategy calls for them were just horrific. Zhou starting on softs and then boxing to softs again as I'm getting rained on. I am getting rained on. And I'm looking at the weather radar that I have on my phone app and it's saying there is moderate rain coming in 5 minutes' time. And I'm like, and this app is very, very, like, almost spot on. Almost, like, 95% of the time it's right. And I'm like, okay, the rain's coming. He's boxing for inters. I'm a bit early, but okay, maybe. Softs. I'm like, what is going on? At the same time, Sean Perez are boxing. And I'm like, again, still, bit early, inters. And they're just driving around really slowly on inters. And maybe they're just being test dummies for their teammate. Maybe that's it. But Sergio Perez, you kind of understand it, but I think he has the car capable of getting back into the points. So give him that chance, give him that opportunity. Even if it's just scraping a ninth, that's 2 points. It's going to help you. Although, I suppose if Max Verstappen got the race win, they would have gained 7 points rather than the 2 points. So yeah, maybe it was better to use him as that scapegoat. And yeah, Verstappen gained 3 points on beating Norris and Perez would have gained 2. So okay, maybe that's a fair point. Charles Leclerc was also, I believe, was in the points. He was in that sort of scrap with Stroll and Hülkenberg, and they ended up finishing 6th and 7th in the race. Zhou was qualified ahead of his teammates, so I really don't know what was going on there. It was just horrendous strategic calls, and there was also some of those blunders going on at McLaren
as
well.
Oh, don't get me started with McLaren. As soon as I saw them not bring in and do like a double stack for Piastri and Norris, I thought, that's it. Yeah. You lost it. Now, you just ruined that for Oscar. I was so angry for him.
He was on the back of Lando as well. Like, it was, the gap was 0.3 seconds. Like, he was
ridiculous.
There. Not like he was miles off. Okay, we'll use him as a scapegoat. No. He was there for that fight, had every opportunity to fight for the race win as well. And it was just kind of taken away from him for staying out that extra lap. And then the lap that he comes in, which is what only one lap later, Norris is already right behind him. And it is one of the most painful pit lanes on the grid. It is so long and so... Well, it's not that slow. It's slow on the game, but there's different reasons. But it's just... such a long pit lane, and it just takes so long to get through there, and you lose so much time.
I just thought, what a rubbish call. Why would you do that? Who was making those decisions? And I get there's so much pressure for everyone working in those teams, but come on, bring them in at the same time. We saw Mercedes do a double stack and it worked perfectly. You know, just do the same for McLaren, and potentially, if they got the rest of the strategies right, you know, we could see Norris and Piastri higher up there in those positions. I really feel for Piastri because I think he was strong this weekend. The McLarens were super fast. It was their time to shine, and it wasn't the driver's fault at all. It really is the strategy, the tyres they were putting them on. But I will say, to sort of make the opposite opinion for that, the thing with the change in weather conditions is what saved Silverstone, I will say, because there were times at the start of the race I was like, oh no, it's going to stay like this. Then it rains and I'm like, oh great, they're coming in for inters. Yes, they're obviously going to have to take the inters off at some point, and this is where the strategy is probably going to heat up and get a little bit crazy. But I didn't want to see the McLarens be affected by that, and that's where it's just super sad to watch. Even with Lando, where they left him out too late, you know, one lap extra, and then he's lost that P2 position. Of course, Max was going to come and fight and get him in the end. I'm so happy that Max didn't reach Hamilton because, you know, if the race was a little bit longer, he probably would have caught up to Hamilton towards the end. But Lando could have got that P2. Awful strategy.
Yeah, it's just the decision not to go to mediums. And I know there was discussion between team, but the team has more data. Like, the driver is only, you know, he's on his own in that cockpit of the car. The team has a lot more delta. And yes, okay, the feel of a driver for in terms of when it is time to box, that is, you need that driver's feedback, because you could say it's time to box and they could be like, no, it feels fine. Sometimes you got to give and take a few. Like, an experienced driver, you're going to take more of their word for it. Maybe a more of a rookie, they're going to be like, no, it feels fine. And then a few corners later, they're slipping and sliding and be like, oh no, wait, I should have come in for tyres. So... yeah, okay, it's fair enough to rely on drivers, but the teams have so much data in terms of, you know, they had fresh mediums for them. And the mediums, they were cooking on the mediums. They were so good. McLaren, I don't think outright pace are the fastest car. I think there's three teams now, potentially. You can potentially put Mercedes in that mix. And it is Red Bull, McLaren and Mercedes. That in terms of pace, I think are very similar. I think what separates them, and what kind of showed from that Silverstone race, more so the early stage, because the later stage are on different tyres. But in the early stage, it's about race management, not really race pace. It's more about the management of tyres. Yeah. How good those cars are at looking after tyres. McLaren, unbelievable. Because that second phase of the race, and we've been seeing it over the course of this triple header, second phase of the race, or second phase of a stint, catching. They're just a lot quicker than the car in front. Mercedes, decent. Yeah. Like, decent. Not amazing. But decent, did better on the softs than the McLaren did. But in the first part of the race, didn't do as well as the McLaren on the mediums. Red Bull, stinker when it comes to looking after the tyres, because Max dropped off massively in the initial stage of the race on the first stint on the mediums. On the hards was great. Obviously, it was on a more durable tyre. So, yes, okay, might have struggled a little bit in the first couple of laps because the softs had better pace, but the softs dropped off quite quickly. And all of a sudden, the hards were very, very decent. And he was doing lap times good enough to match Oscar Piastri on the mediums as well. So I worry for Red Bull and their tyre management. And that's something they need to get on top of, because I think that's something that the McLarens, with their great tyre management, at least what showed on those mediums, could be something that they come after them for.
Yeah, well, I think when you were saying that, Hayden, what was more sticking out to me is, right now, it's not so much the driver craft. And yeah, you're completely right. You know, it is about like tyre management and getting the strategies right. But it's also showing me how innovative, you know, the sport is. Because these Teams are bringing new upgrades and changes to the car, and we're really seeing now that it is those changes to the front wing that are making the massive difference. You know, the Mercedes did some upgrades to the front wing, and look what's happening. They are off now. The same with the McLarens. You know, making those extra little upgrades is really working for them. But at Red Bull, they are making a change to the floor for Perez's car. So they're going to be running a new floor, and it's the same one that they've changed from Max Verstappen's car at the British Grand Prix. So what it's showing me now is it's less so about your drivers this season. It's just, have the teams got the car correct or not? You know, what's going on? Are they changing things? Are they just testing and trialing out new upgrades and parts of the car and components? And eventually, once they've got that right, then it falls back onto the drivers. You know, oh, is Max Verstappen being too aggressive because the car's there? You know, has Lando Norris got the driver craft and the control to go against Max? And then it falls back into all those questions about the drivers. But for now, I'm going into each race looking at who's got the strongest car, depending on, you know, the best parts for specific tracks. That's where all my attention is going at the minute. So it's going to be really interesting to see for Hungary if it makes any difference to Perez's car. Because if it doesn't, and it should do, then you kind of know it's a driver problem at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, Sergio Perez in sticky water at the moment. A lot of rumours from the paddock that Ricciardo could still take his seat, or anyone could still take a seat. They've given him a contract basically to kind of settle his nerves and make him feel a bit more comfortable, and that's not really working. So basically giving him a contract that kind of means nothing in a sense. Like, you're signed for 2 years, but by the way, we can still get rid of you quite easily. So you're not really signed for 2 years. But there's an option for them to put Ricciardo in if Ricciardo's form continues. And I think he kind of got a little bit shafted this weekend in Britain, caught out by the wet weather in the qualifying, and, you know, couldn't get a lap in, a bit of traffic as well. And then in the race was just kind of held up in that same traffic, sadly. So I think Ricciardo is on the up, but it'd be interesting to see whether they put him in. But the thing is with Perez, and I do like Sergio Perez, but I think, you know, why not give it a go? If Daniel Ricciardo is better, then we find out. If he's not, then we find out. Like, we find out either way. But for Red Bull, they have a big problem. They did a really good job over the weekend in the support series. Isaac Hadjar winning in F2, now putting himself in the fight for the F2 championship. Mm-hmm. They've also got Lindblad. He won both races in F3 and has got himself in the championship fight. Yeah. So there's options for Red Bull in the juniors. Like, it's a great difficulty to have, that you have all this young talent in your pool that are waiting in the wings, because you've still got Liam Lawson, who is without a drive. You've also got Iwasa, who is over in Super Formula at the moment, fighting for that championship. So you have three potential drivers. I think for the F3 driver, they'll put him into F2 if he wins F3. So it's kind of an easy way to say, okay, you go there. Maybe Hadjar will go to Super Formula, and maybe then Iwasa is fighting with Lawson for that seat. But it's something that they need to consider, because they've currently got Perez, who's struggling in Red Bull. So do they take him out and they put Ricciardo in, and then they put somebody else into RB, like a Lawson, like an Iwasa, like a Hadjar? Do they put one of those guys in there? If they keep Sergio Perez, then Daniel Ricciardo can't stay in RB because he's matching Yuki Tsunoda. It's not clear who's having a better season so far between the two of them right now. I think they're both similar with each other, and that's not what the junior team should be for. It should be bringing in that young talent. Daniel Ricciardo, I think, is a great fit at another team, and I don't want to see him out of the sport. I think he can definitely go to another team, but something needs to happen there. So if this rumor about the summer break comes true, you know, Ricciardo maybe to Red Bull, Perez, I'm going to put him somewhere else in a second, Lawson goes to RB, and then you keep Lawson happy because he's waiting in the wings. And then if Williams are really, really considering Logan Sargeant and getting rid of him, then Sergio Perez maybe goes to Williams. Although Logan Sargeant did have a better weekend this weekend as well, but still unable to be there with Alex Albon. So maybe that's kind of my prediction if things were to change after Belgium and going into the summer break. If things were to happen,
that's what you're
Ricciardo
expecting.
At Red Bull, Lawson, RB, and then Perez either completely gone or goes to Williams and says,
I think Red Bull just need to stick with the driver, because that's the fear that I have, is that they bring in, you know, another driver, one that's maybe on the grid already, or like a junior driver, but then they drop them as soon as they're not performing for a few races. They're like, all right, that's it, see you later, we're going to bring in a driver that's been on the grid beforehand, someone we've already worked with, something like that, bring them back in. And then once they're not performing, it's like, oh, what do we do now? It's just Of course, yep. If your driver isn't bringing the results that you need, yes, you're not going to keep them for, you know, the rest of eternity. There is going to be a time where you're going to drop that driver, but you just don't see them nurture their drivers, coach their drivers or work with them. And maybe they do behind the scenes, but from what we see, just face value is as soon as they start making mistakes, it's right, let's get rid of them. That's why people are so shocked when Perez got that 2-year extension, because they were like, Red Bull never do this. This makes no sense. It must just be a sponsor thing and stuff to do with money, because they never do this. But like you say, those contracts don't mean anything at the end of the day. They can be changed. There's clauses in there that's like, right, doesn't matter. You had a 2-year extension. Yeah, we're going to drop you for the next race or maybe halfway through a season or whatever it is. So I would love to see Liam Lawson in that seat. I think he's got that talent. I don't want to see Ricciardo in there. As much as I love Ricciardo and I've been a massive fan of his, I think it's just going to be a Perez part two. You're going to put him in there. He'll have some strong races and then he'll have some awful races. He's going to get angry again, fighting, you know, against Max Verstappen. He's never going to be the same level as Max. And he's going to be unhappy. It's going to get to him mentally. And I don't think it's going to be good for the team. So bringing in someone fresh is better for me, but just don't drop them. If Liam Lawson comes in and really struggles, having a first full season in Formula One, he's not going to be on top form. He's going to make those mistakes, especially at the best team on the grid. I mean, if we can still say that, one of the best teams on the grid being Red Bull, you know, he's not going to come in. He's going to have so much pressure against him. He needs to get up to the grips with the team, with the car, everything, being, you know, in the pinnacle of motorsport, Formula One. So if he comes in, or if any junior driver comes in, I just hope that Red Bull keep them, you know, at least 2 years.
Maybe, yeah, though. Maybe we're both wrong.
Maybe.
And maybe it's going to be Ricciardo and Perez at Red Bull next season.
Dun,
because
dun,
Max Verstappen goes to Mercedes, because Mercedes are back. Mercedes won 2 races in a row. You know, Red Bull dropped off a little bit. And maybe Max Verstappen's like, you know what, actually, that seems like a good offer. I'm going to go over there. Who knows? Who knows
that
what's going to happen?
Mental.
Which, in all fairness, I think would be good for any driver, because so far, every driver we've seen that's gone up against Max Verstappen has massively crumbled. Not just been off slightly, massively crumbled. So I think for even if Lawson goes there, whatever, like mentally he's just gonna drop so quickly, because it is so difficult to go up against Max. So who knows what the future is gonna happen. It's been a crazy driver transfer window that we've had since the start of the year.
Picture this: you're halfway through a DIY Carfix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We should say congratulations for Ollie Burman getting that Haas seat, which, let me give you a bit of inside scoops. I went to, it was a dinner with Jenson Button. He's promoting his new whiskey with Coach Bill. And it was, I think it was like in partnership with Sky as well. And I was there because I'm in a sim racing competition with Guild Esports and Sky Broadband. So I got invited, all the finalists got invited down. And they did a bit of hosting. There was Natalie, you know, Natty Pinkham, Ted Kravitz, Simon, and yeah, it was Jensen, obviously, on stage talking. And they announced that Ollie had the seat before it had come out. So I had the inside scoop. And they were like, yes, it's going to be dropped tomorrow. I was like, yes. But we were allowed, I don't think it was like super top secret. It wasn't like, you can't tell anyone this. They were like, yeah, it's going to be announced tomorrow. Absolutely mental. It's great to see him, you know, take that Haas seat, and hopefully he does well. I don't want to put any pressure on him coming into the sport. Like, oh, he's going to be fighting for whatever, because Nico Hülkenberg is absolutely smashing
it. Yeah, if he's
it.
Not coming in, he's not winning his first race in that Haas, then
you're
I
out.
Think they need to get rid of him.
Get out, you know. Why are you even in the sport? No, it's going to be so great for him, and hopefully he can work his way up to that Ferrari seat in the future. But who is going to be his teammate is the big question.
Yeah, I think I'm probably one of the only people who did not know that it was guaranteed to happen. Because everybody I've spoken to has been like, it's the worst kept secret. It was definitely going to happen. And every single time I was like, Gene Haas hates rookies. He doesn't want somebody else smashed up his car. And instead it's come out and it's like a multi-year contract as well. So I think there's a lot more going on behind the scenes. I think Ferrari have come in with a lot of money and said, basically, you're going to put our guy in your car next season. We're going to help you out in terms of funds. And this is going to happen. And just trust in him. Like, he drove for us in Ferrari, did a great job, trust in him. And I think they've massively been able to help Ollie Bearman get that deal. I just thought at the time a lot of people were buying into the hype. And I think people can do that very quickly. And it's happened before with Nyck de Vries, for example, in Monza. You know, he scored points in that Williams. Everyone's like, Nyck de Vries is amazing. He's going to be the next best Dutch driver. You know, he's going to be the next Max Verstappen when Max Verstappen moves on, even though I'm pretty sure he's older than Max Verstappen or the same age. All of that that was blowing up and going off. And then obviously he joined AlphaTauri and was getting schooled by Yuki week in, week out. So I was just kind of a bit like, let's not build into this hype just yet. Let's give the guy time and let's give him the right seat as well, because Haas is a bit of a worrying seat. But I think they've really got things under control, and actually was my surprise of the season. They've been incredible, you know, getting another P6 this weekend with Hülkenberg. They've been unreal. And I think there's a lot of impressive stuff over at Haas at the moment. So I'm really happy for Ollie that he is going to be an F1, four Brits on the grid, and I am excited to see what he can do. And as you say, no pressure. I think as a rookie, I think we need to just allow these drivers to have no pressure in their first season. Second season, you can be a little bit more like, okay, let's get those results start coming now. But I think those signs will start to show through. And it's also a case for F2 that there is a bit of a problem in F2 at the moment. Because if you look at the championship, Ollie Bearman, again, still right down there. I think he's 14th in F2. I think he's also 14th in the F1 standings at the same time. So he's 14th in both championships at the moment. But Prem is just having an absolute stinker. It's the same with Antonelli. He's having a bit of a stinker as well. You know, he finally got a race win in the sprint race, and there was a lot of hype about Mercedes, and, you know, he's going to be driving for Mercedes next year. He's the next best thing. He looks a bit like Ayrton Senna,
he's got that look. Senna, I see it.
But in the Premier League, they've both just been massively struggling this season. I don't think the car's got the new regulations. I think Roden's another car that's also struggled with the regulations as well this season. So I think F2 is something that it's a difficult thing to look at so far this season. But it's great for Bearman.
That's what I would say, is you can't really compare, because I will say I have done it before where I'm like, but that driver's not doing great in F2. So why is there so much hype about them coming to Formula One? But that's what I'm finding. It's two completely different racing series. You know, we've seen drivers that have won the F2 championship come into Formula One, and then they're not winning races in Formula One. So you can't really, because it's so different. The cars are completely different. You know, teams are different. Strategies will be obviously, you know, 10 times way more competitive and have a lot more pressure than they will in Formula 2. So it's completely different to compare it.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to, usually before this season, I would say you've got to be up there. Like, you've got to be in the top five, like, in a season. You've got to be up there winning races as well. Like, not all the time. Fighting for a championship helps even further, but it also is dependent on the field spread that you're going up against. You look at, for example, Nyck de Vries, and, you know, he's an F2 champion and nobody can take that away from him at all. But you look at maybe the grid that he was up against compared to when George Russell won the championship. And who finished second in George Russell's season? Lando Norris, I think, or maybe it was Albon, but then third was either Lando or Albon. And you look at Nyck de Vries' season, second in his championship was Nicholas Latifi. Now, I love Nicholas Latifi, great guy, but was not cut out to be the next best Formula One driver, sadly. You know, had a good run in Formula One, being in the Williams, but didn't impress massively to keep his seat. So you've got to kind of look at that judgment. But this season, I mean, it's really difficult to judge, because some teams, for a spec series, have just not got it right, whether that's down to setup or whatever. They're just really, really struggling.
Do you know what I'm looking forward to the most, though, Hayden, with Ollie Bearman coming into F1? Is more content of his poor dad's shocked face.
Oh, God, he's going to be so nervous for the whole season now.
Especially in a Haas, you know, because he's going to be surrounded by those midfielders and the end of the grid as well, which we see some crazy moves because people are fighting to get nearer to points positions. So, you know, if he's surrounded by your Alonsos, and if Magnussen is still going to stay at Haas, or if he goes to another team potentially, be scared. Ollie Berman's dad, Yes, yeah. You know, he's not fighting at the top where you'd think it'd be a little bit more crazy, but it's less crazy at the top than it is right in the middle.
Who do you reckon is going to join him at Haas, though? Who do you think is going to be that driver to go to Haas? Because there's guaranteed now that one driver from this grid will not be on the grid next season because we've got one come in already. And there is potential for Kimi Antonelli, is the bigger rumour, that he's going to either be joining Williams for 2 years. He will definitely be in Formula One next season. It will either be Williams for 2 years or it will be straight into that Mercedes if Max Verstappen doesn't want it. Those are the options. But that means two drivers are going out. So who's going to Haas?
I mean, there's massive, massive rumours which someone shared. One of our friends actually shared on their story recently, like, oh my God, it must be true. And I thought, it's not come out officially yet. You know, F1 haven't made any statements, or the team itself haven't. But everyone's saying, Ocon.
I did see that,
Ocon's
yeah.
going to Haas. Yeah. So right now, I think it's out of Ocon or Hulk, or Magnussen. I mean, I don't see any reason for why they should drop Magnussen, because he's sort of your perfect number two driver. You know, he's always going to protect you number one. So, I mean, not back in the mm-hmm. past, but now he's obviously a lot calmer.
But would you argue now that they don't need a number two? Because Hulkenberg's kind of been that number one. He's been getting the results. There's been occasions where they've had to rely on Magnussen to protect him. But now,
yeah,
with Behrmann coming in, you wouldn't exactly go, Behrmann's our number one now. Magnussen, you protect no. Behrmann. And Magnussen's not going to protect a rookie. He's not going to be like, I'm not letting this rookie show me up. So I don't know. I feel like maybe they potentially would look for a replacement for Hulkenberg, and Behrmann's the replacement for Magnussen in a way.
For Magnussen. Potentially, yeah. I think that's probably a good way of looking at it. But then is Ocon the man for the job? Is Ocon your number one driver? Because I wouldn't put him as your number one driver either. And I think Ocon, and I mean, he's the more experienced. So I guess they're like, okay, we've got one experienced driver and one rookie, so it's fine. But then I'm like, why get rid of Magnussen then? Because for me, they're sort of similar levels-ish. You know, maybe Ocon has performed better at times than Magnussen. But for me, they're two good drivers at times, great at, you know, sometimes being a team player, but then they've got this other side of them that's so aggressive, so chaotic, cause damage with the team. So there isn't one or the other. I'd be like, oh yeah, I'd defo go for him, or I'd defo go for him. I think they're on equal playing field. So would you get rid of Magnussen and bring in someone new? What's the point when he's mm-hmm. been there and he knows the team? So it's quite interesting to see what's going to happen at Haas.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a difficult thing realistically just to replace Hulkenberg, because he is such an incredible driver. I remember mm-hmm. watching him, particularly 2013 season in that Sauber, pulling out miracles and fighting up in the top five. I think it was like a race at Korea and then also the Italian Grand Prix at Monza. And there's been so many occasions for Hulkenberg that I just wish that he had an opportunity at a top team. And he might not have been world champion winning material. He might have been a Bottas or a Perez in those teams. Drivers that can, more so Bottas, I think Perez maybe has struggled more so in that Red Bull. Maybe if you put him in a Mercedes alongside a Lewis Hamilton as a Bottas role, I think he probably could have done a similar job to Bottas. But I think Hulkenberg could have been that sort of driver as well. A driver that you can rely on to qualify well, be up there, maybe not always be consistent enough to fight for a championship, but be good enough to yeah. score you really good points and help you win a Constructors' Championship. And I do wish that Hulkenberg at some point had that opportunity. I don't think it will ever come for him now, unless Audi all of a sudden come out of the blocks and they're like, we have built an absolute incredible car and now we're challenging for the championship. But I think they have an incredible driver, and he is going to be difficult to replace for a team like Haas, because they don't have an infinite amount of funds. And maybe this is why the Oliver Behrmann deal has come in. It's a case of, okay, cool, we're going to take the money from Ferrari to put their driver in our car, and that money is going to help us get somebody who is a top driver. Maybe they see that in Esteban Ocon. Maybe now they're going to Carlos Sainz and be like, look, you know, maybe you'll consider us as well, because we're doing all right, you know, as a midfield team. We're up there. Hulkenberg scoring sixth. Maybe you want to come to us. We have this money now. You know, Ferrari might even help it with Carlos Sainz being dropped by them as well. A little parachute to fall yeah. into Haas. Who knows? But, you know, I think it's going to be difficult for them to replace Hulkenberg. He's had two incredible results. He's been qualifying phenomenally for the last couple of seasons. And yeah, I think it's going to be difficult to replace. Who would I put in there for immediate choice? I'd love to see Sainz, but I don't think Ocon's a bad shout. I think Ocon has showed a lot of great performances. I think there is a little bit too much aggression at times and maybe arrogance maybe that's not the right word, but in terms of maybe selfishness, I have to be the best. There's also been teamwork as well. Don't get me wrong. He's been a great team player too at times, but he definitely goes up against teammates. Like, he's gone and fought Fernando Alonso at Alpine to the point where Alonso's come on the radio and be like, what's this guy doing? And, you know, he's had collisions with Pierre Gasly as well, where, you know, they've had arguments, and that's probably resulted in Ocon's full dismissal from the team to be like, okay, he's not with us anymore. So I think it is a worry with Ocon, but I think there's the pace there. Being at Silverstone this weekend, they were running some historic cars. I know we always go off on tangents on these podcasts, but they were running historical cars. There was 2009 McLaren, I think 2008 or 2007 McLarens. There was a Jaguar there. There was some Benettons, some Renault. That actually, I think someone put the Renault in the wall at one point, which is always a bit like, oh, a classic car. That's bad. But I would love that role. Like, just to be on track at Silverstone, just driving, doing laps. Like, there's no pressure on you. You're not there to win. You're not there to set record-breaking lap times. You have one goal, one job, which somebody failed at their one job. Don't bin the car. That's all you got to do. Put on a spectacle. Let fans listen to these cars and watch these cars go around corners. Be like, wow, that's incredible. Do not crash it. I reckon I could jump in there and drive at an okay speed. Not to, like, flat out, because the G-forces on my body also, I probably wouldn't be able to fit in the car because I'm a bit chunky at the moment. But I would be able to drive, I reckon, at a good level. And that's what I'd like to do, you know, because I know I'm not going to be an F1 driver, but I'd love to do something like that.
I could see you doing that. I could definitely see you doing that. I think F1 driver in another lifetime, 100%. But I could see you doing something like that. You've got so much, you know, knowledge on track that you definitely bring from sim racing, because, you know, you haven't got a wealth of experience out on track. But once you get out there, I think you really bring all of that, you know, where to position the car and how to go into corners and just all the sort of basics that you'd only know as an experienced sim racer. So
thank you very much for inflating my ego. If anybody would like to get in touch for next year at Silverstone, you know where to find me, and I will happily drive whatever car, even if it is incredibly slow. Even if it's one of those Silverstone single-seaters, one of those around Silverstone, I'll take what I can get. I would, although the gears were the tricky part. I did. There was a few times I missed shift, but there was a few tricky times. But yeah, that's going to wrap up our podcast about the British Grand Prix. But don't go anywhere, because we're going to be getting into hot takes of the week next. And that is the part of the show where you guys at home send us your spiciest takes from the previous race weekend, or your thoughts you're currently thinking about for the Formula One world. Myself and Amber, we look into them, we dissect them, we debate them. And we rate them on how spicy we think those hot takes are.
Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY Carfix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom. You realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things people love.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Amber, I know you love this part of the show, so are you ready?
So ready. Let's get into it.
Well, we're getting into, I think, it's quite a spicy one to start off with. And this is from Kip Lagat. They say, Lewis Hamilton and Verstappen showed why they are champions, while Norris showed why he isn't ready to be one at the British Grand Prix.
I think this is already kicking off. Yeah. I think it's super spicy. I agree with you, Hayden, because I don't agree with this hot take. And there's like 10% of me that kind of does agree with it. But not going off this weekend, because Lewis Hamilton, 7-time world champion, you know, of course, he's got so much experience. He's cool, calm, collected. He can be defensive. He can be aggressive. You know, every adjective I can use for Lewis Hamilton, you know, I'm going in there. And Max Verstappen has shown, you know, at the last race in Austria, that he can dip back into crash Verstappen. And, you know, and he's a bit aggressive. So I don't think that incident that happened with Norris and Verstappen takes anything away from Norris. Of course, he needs more experience. I think 100% that's definitely true. And he will be fighting for those titles. But I don't think he's out of that realm with Verstappen and Hamilton at all, because this weekend it wasn't his fault. It was strategy from McLaren. He looked strong. He looked like he knew what he was doing. For me, he didn't really put a foot wrong this weekend. It was the team orders. So this hot take for me isn't the perfect hot take at this time. If something else happens down the line, then I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe. I've seen enough from Norris that he's not up there. He's probably not going to be a world champion. But I think he's got it in him. I think he really is showing. But the team aren't there. And, you know, sometimes the upgrades aren't correct with the car as well. So that's going to go against him. And it's Max Verstappen at the end of the day who is so aggressive. Put him against maybe another amazing driver, but who's not as aggressive as Max Verstappen. I think Norris would come out on top. So if he finds his feet a little bit with aggression in that area of his driver craft, that's aggressive but controlled. You know, you're not super aggressive where you're just going to ruin it for you and the other driver. It was ultimately Max Verstappen's mistake in that instant between them two. But yes, Norris could have backed off. Yes, Verstappen could have backed off. So there's so many different variables, but 100% I don't agree with this hot take. I think Norris has got it. He's just too experienced in comparison to the two.
Yeah, I think this weekend Lewis definitely showed why he is a champion. That stint on the softs, just being able to be consistently faster than Lando. And even when Max got past Lando, he wasn't catching up at a massive rate of knots compared to how quickly he was catching up to Lando Norris. And I feel like Lewis, because he was in that position, was like, this is mine now. I'm at Britain. I love racing here. I've won it here 8 times before. I can hear the crowd cheering me on. I'm doing it for them. And there was another level to Lewis Hamilton, I think, for this race weekend. That is Lewis Hamilton on his best day. And that is champion Lewis Hamilton. And I think Max Verstappen as well. Again, I don't think he has the most dominant car now like he did in the first round of the season. You know, we saw Bahrain and they were so far clear. And it was like, well, this is what season done. It's another season like last year. He's going to win every race and Red Bull going to dominate every race. And it's not there. The car is good. The car is on par with McLaren and Mercedes. But, you know, it still needs those killer performances to bring it out. And I think Verstappen and the team, I think it also comes down to the team, because you're right with the strategic calls. That wouldn't have just been Verstappen on his own being like, let's go hard, guys. Hard's the best tires. Let's do it. You know, it was the right call to make and they did it well. And I think there was a point where Max was struggling and I thought that Sainz was even going to get him. Like he was going to drop down even further. And it was like, wow, this has really changed now. Max Verstappen is no longer the most dominant driver in Formula One. He now is fighting for these race wins. And he came back from that. And I think that just shows what is just so good about Max Verstappen at the moment and why he is, you know, one of the greatest drivers, or, you know, will be in that picture of the greatest of all time by the end of his career. Because even when the car isn't underneath him, something's not gone his way, he always finds a way to be back up there and fighting for the race win. And for Lando Norris, it's not been a good triple header for him. I think, in all honesty, Lando Norris should have gained 21 points on Max Verstappen out of these three races. He should have won every single one of them. Spain, if he didn't lose out to George Russell at the start, a better start, he wouldn't have lost out to George Russell, wouldn't have got stuck behind George Russell, and he had the car to go and fight Max Verstappen. Could he have overtaken Max Verstappen? Who knows? Maybe he didn't get overtaken at the start anyway because he led from the start. It was all down to that start. Messed up there. That cost him the race win. And from that, Max has gained 7 points on him. Then we go to Austria. The sprint race, he makes a great move on Max, takes that position. But then it's the schoolboy error where he doesn't defend the inside line when he's just done that to Max Verstappen. Max takes him back. All of a sudden, Piastri's fighting with him. And that lost him the fight for the race win in the sprint race. Then the main race. Yes, okay, Max deserved the penalty because he moved over and he didn't leave a car's width. And the contact was on him. But if you're fighting for a championship and you are the driver that is trying to catch Although I agree that you don't have to move over, and I'm quite glad he didn't, because I think somebody needs to take it to Max and be like, look, I'm not moving over for you. You know, we're both going to give each other space here and we're both going to fight. But as he is chasing this championship, he could have easily moved onto that curb, switched it back, waited another lap, gone again. And I think the car was better in those stages of the race to give him a chance for the win. And the same with Silverstone. I think there was a great opportunity to win here. So I do think that instead of, you know, gaining 21 points, Max Verstappen out of these three races gained 22 points on him. And I think, you know, it doesn't all solely rely on Lando. There are mistakes from the team too. But this was a great opportunity. And I think it's a really good opportunity now with after this triple header. We've got a break week. Take that opportunity just to regroup. Bring yourself back, because you're in this fight. You are in this fight for race wins. And the championship could potentially be there if you absolutely nail this second half of the season. We're only at the halfway stage. Everything that's happened to Max Verstappen in the first half of the season can easily now start to happen to Lando Norris for the rest of the season. And we could have a championship fight going into the final few rounds. So take this break now before we have the last two races. Regroup. Go hard for two races. Take 3 weeks off. Go hard again for the rest of the season and come back. But, you know, you need to get into that mindset that you are fighting for a championship rather than just trying to take every single race win. It's consistency is going to win you a championship, not just pushing flat out and going for one race win.
I completely agree. I just think that Norris now is in the same position that, you know, Max was in first coming into his career, making those little mistakes. That's why I say that Max and Lewis just have that experience on him. They've been through those periods of, oh no, I've done this and I've just ruined it for myself, and now I'm down in, you know, whichever stand-ins it is. You know, I've ruined it for the constructors, now I've ruined it for my own driver stand-ins. I think this is where Norris is at the time. I think, you know, a few years, he's 100% world champion worthy. He just needs to get past these little wiggle room of, oh, I shouldn't do this. I know now where to push it and where not to push it. But then if the team aren't helping, what is this boy going to do? You know, this was his time to shine, to come back after Austria and show, yes, okay, it was Max's fault, but I could have done this. I just wanted to show the world that I'm a great driver. I'm going to go up against Max Verstappen. I'm going to get those points. Didn't work out for me. We're going to go into Silverstone in a better place, a better position, and go for that win. It didn't work out, but that wasn't his fault at all. I'm gutted that he just didn't get that win. So I think you're so right. You know, the team needs to have a debrief. He needs to have a debrief, and they come back 10 times stronger and know what they're doing, because I would be so frustrated if I was him. And then to see it go wrong for Piastri as well, it just shows it was a massive team error for McLaren this weekend.
What are we rating this hot take out of five then?
Spicy. Quite spicy. I like this hot take. I'm going to go in, is it a five for me? Yeah, I'm going to go in at a five. Super spicy.
I agree because it's savage as well. I think if it's savage, it's spicy. Right, let's get into the next one. And this one is going to come in from at Swidler SPD. And this is, McLaren should focus on the Constructors' Championship instead of drivers. They have a much bigger chance of winning it. They need to treat their drivers equally to get maximum points. They could have won 43 to 12 with Red Bull today if they did focus on the team. And when they say 43 to 12, they mean if they won the race at Cape Second, got a 1-2, that'd be 43 points for them. And Red Bull with Max Verstappen could have only scored 12 points if he finished in fifth, I think it was, for 12 points, maybe fourth. Four for 12. So that's what they're saying on that one.
Right, this hot take. Yeah, I think it's quite nice. We're going to have a little debate on this one because they're currently third in the Constructors. So if you're looking at the difference in points, you know, McLaren are 295, Ferrari are 302, and Red Bull are 373. So there is quite a big distance there between McLaren and Red Bull. The Ferraris are slowly going to, well, maybe not even slowly, are going to drop down. McLaren are definitely going to go and take that P2 in the Constructors. But at the same time, when you look at the driver standings, Lando is 171 and Max is 255. So if Max keeps this strain of maybe not the best races for him, and if the team and Lando can get up there and be a little bit more consistent, I don't see why they can't focus on the drivers' standings, the drivers' championship. You know, they could really push it. We could be in for a battle potentially if this just doesn't go Max Verstappen's way, which The thing is with Max Verstappen, it always goes his way. Even if something goes wrong, like you were saying beforehand, Hayden, it's something, whether it's his mentality or his driver craft or just luck, something is always on his side. So in Austria, when Norris, you know, had to DNF, Verstappen was still in the race and he still got those points. So that's what you're kind of relying on if you want Norris to sort of get to win the Drivers' Championship. Constructors, I don't know. Because obviously Perez isn't doing great at the minute, so they've got that. And Verstappen isn't doing great compared to the start of the season. So potentially, but I'm not like, yes, I fully agree with this hot take. They should definitely focus on the constructors. I'm like, it's kind of anyone's game for me, either or.
I think that they have a point. They've got a great chance at a win at Constructors' Championship if they just focus solely on the constructors and played a bit more with team orders and just said, look, guys, we're quite a bit away in the drivers. We could catch up, but it is also going to need a bit of a miracle. And, you know, because it's not just a sense of McLaren can become the better team and Lando's winning a lot more of the races, but they also need Max to drop down to around 4th, 5th where McLaren were at the start of the season, which at the moment isn't really happening. Verstappen is still finding his way on the podium and it's only going to be taking little chinks out of the armour across the season rather than like a big step if there's a drop off of pace. So there's a chance, but it's still unlikely. It's not impossible. It's just, you know, it's going to be difficult. Whereas constructors, there's a chance. Like I've got a great stat here, which is before Britain, across the 5 race weekends before that, McLaren had scored 144 points. Red Bull had scored 116 points. So that's 30 points more, or 28 to be exact, more points scored than the Red Bull team. So you are gaining. And that if that continues over the second half of the season, you're gaining that many points over 5 races, you're going to be in a fight with them for the Constructors' Championship. Even a team like Mercedes is catching up to Red Bull. And this is why the Perez situation that we talked about earlier in the podcast is something that they do need to discuss. Because if they lose the Constructors' Championship, because Perez is too busy making mistakes in qualifying, getting knocked down Q1 and not scoring points, they're going to be missing out massively. And it's not good for them. They need to win that Constructors because they have a car that is capable of doing that. But for McLaren, this is a great opportunity. And I think this could be a great opportunity for them. I don't think a 1-2 was particularly on, but there was a chance for it. I think the double stack, they were always going to have a double stack. It's always the way with wet weather. If you have 2 drivers that are great and they're up there, you're going to have to. Mercedes had to, but the double stack didn't lose you that much time compared to going for an extra lap. It was the smarter thing to do. And if they thought about that, then, you know, Piastri might have still got P4. You know, probably likely would have still got P4, but it could have been a 1-2. It could have been a bit of protection for Norris. It could have gone any other way. So I think that's something that they do need to consider. But Constructor Championship, I don't think, is over at all because Piastri's been so solid this season. I think he's been incredible. And, you know, they have an opportunity to let Lando run with it, be dominant in races. And I think he is the better driver at the moment. We spoke about it so many times. Piastri at time management, something that questionable, but was good this weekend. And I would like to see him progress over the season. And I really want him to get a race win. I think it's coming and I think he will get one this season. I don't know when, but it will happen at some point this season. But yeah, I think they've got a great chance, but I don't think they solely need to focus on it because we are at the halfway stage. There's still a long way. There's still 12 rounds left to go. Anything can happen.
Exactly. That's the thing. You just don't know what's going to happen going forward. Who expected that the Mercedes were going to be strong? At the start of the season, we were like, oh God, Mercedes, they still haven't got it. When are they going to make a return? And then, you know, getting to the halfway point of the season, we're like, oh, here they are. So you can't call it. And especially if Mercedes can keep getting, you know, podiums or race wins, that's going to affect how many points Max gets. So that's why I'm sort of like, I think it's really either or. Yes, they probably have a better chance in constructors because they've got 2 drivers getting better positions, whereas the Red Bull at this point only have Max because Perez is all the way down at the bottom for most of the races. Poor Perez. So for them, I think they can just focus on getting great positions and then just seeing what happens with constructors or the drivers.
Yeah, I think I agree. And we'll have to wait and see how this goes on over the rest of the season with that conundrum that Red Bull have with Perez and whether it plays out for them. Right, what are we rating that take?
Do you know what, Hayden? It wasn't super spicy for me, but it was like good enough to debate. So I'm going to go in at a 4 because it's kind of up there, but not super, super, super spicy.
I was going to go 3. I was going to go in the middle. I think it's good. I still think it's too early to be in that situation. Yeah. Be like, you've got to decide between one or the other, because I think there is still every chance that Lando could potentially chase or at least tease us with a championship fight. Like, just be a case of the team being like, oh, if there were two more rounds at the end of the season, we could have had him. You know, when people go, ah, Max Verstappen at Britain, for example, two more laps and I would have had him. You know, one of those things that could potentially happen by the end of the season. But I think it's too early to say that it's definitely not going to happen. And I think McLaren still have a good chance, as I say, last five rounds before Britain, been gaining a lot of points and gained even more at Britain with Max in second and Lando and Piastri third and fourth. So good opportunities for those guys to catch up. So 3 for me, 4 for you. And that is going to wrap up this week's WTF1 podcast. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Make sure you follow us on whatever audio platform you're currently listening to at the moment. Follow us on all our socials at WTF1 Official. And of course, myself and Amber as well for all that great content about Formula One. And we will see you on the next podcast next week. Until then, have a good rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions. No more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.